If you have a Bible, please grab it now or turn it on if it's on your phone or on a device. If you lead one, wave your hand in the air. The stewards can bring one to you. And here on Sunday mornings, we're in a series looking at the Lord's Prayer, looking at it phrase by phrase, reminding ourselves what it says, having a little think about what it might mean for us today. And we've got to this phrase today, "Your will be done." I just want to read some verses from Philippians chapter 2 as we begin. So turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Some very familiar words. A description of what our God is like. Let me just read these words to you. Let's enjoy these words together. Philippians 2 verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is our God. Amen. September the 3rd, 3 weeks ago tomorrow, our daughter Emily was leaving home. She was going to Birmingham for a month's training. She's going to come and tell you a bit about that next week. So it was a big day for us, a tough day for us, really, saying, waving goodbye to her. As I left the house that morning, I noticed that our bicycle shed in the front garden was open, which I thought was unusual, to leave that unlocked. And when I got to it, I found that actually it wasn't us who'd left it unlocked. Someone had broken into it, and they'd stolen Freddie's bike. Just to add to everything else that was happening that day, it wasn't great. So that night, I'd taken Emily to Birmingham, left her there, come back home. Wasn't really sleeping very well. Lots on my mind to do with her and the church and everything else. And because I was awake, I heard a noise outside. Our bedroom's in the front, and I looked out of the window, and there were two men who were opening our bicycle shed again. There were still three bikes in there. They'd obviously taken one the day before, and they'd come back to get the rest that night. So I shouted at them out of the window while we went downstairs, and sure enough, they ran away and had to carry all the bicycles through the house and, you know, hide them in the back garden so that they'd be safe overnight. And I'll be honest, you know, the adrenaline was going at that point, so when I went back to bed, I really wasn't in any place to sleep at all after that. On top of everything else, I was angry and I was frustrated and I felt hard done by. And I began to think of the things that I wanted to do to those people if I ever caught up with them. I don't know if you ever feel like that. We'd been to watch Mission Impossible the week before, so I was feeling quite invincible. I thought, you know what, this would be no problem. I'd love to chase them down the road. I'd love to smash in their vehicle with a cricket bat that I've got by the front door. I'd love to overpower them in some way using all my Tom Cruise skills that I've learned from just watching a film and sitting down and doing nothing. I'd love to capture them and overpower them and tie them back to back to a lamppost using a bicycle lock, because that kind of felt appropriate to what had happened and what had happened to me. Does anybody else kind of fantasize like this? And as I lay there wide awake, a thought came into my mind, and it was a verse from the Bible, from Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." To which my answer was, no! I want them to feel pain. I want them to suffer financially. I want them to pay for a new bike for my boy. I'd love to stick a bicycle pump somewhere where the sun doesn't shine. And all these kind of things which kind of went through my mind. But I'd like one of those irritating pop songs, this verse kept coming back to my mind. Love your enemies. Pray for them. And the four words that came from my side of that conversation were, "I don't want to." And there's reasons why I don't want to, and I feel justified in saying I don't want to. And I imagine, I guess, perhaps I hope I'm not the only person who ever says those four words when God puts something in your mind. I don't want to. I don't want to. Which I think is the main reason why this phrase of the Lord's Prayer is the hardest phrase in the whole prayer to say and to really mean it. I think the bit about forgiving other people comes a close second, but I think this is the hardest part. To actually really pray and really mean it when you say it. And I think the reason that we find it so hard goes something like this. I should have put this on already. Perhaps you could just flick on, Hugh, until this switches on. That'll be great. We believe, and the Bible is very clear, that God has a will. God has desires for my life, for your life. The thing is, I also have a will, and I also have desires for my life. And there are times, maybe fairly often, when those two wills conflict with each other. So God wants me to do something that I don't want to do. And when there's a conflict between the two, either one or the other will win. They can't both win at the same time when they're heading in different directions. And so praying these four words, "Your will be done," is saying to God, "I'm going to let your will win." And so never again can I say to you, "I don't want to." And that's really hard. And I think there are a number of reasons why it's really hard, but we need to get our head around them and think about what our response to them is going to be, because Jesus says, this is how we should pray. So I just want to spend a few minutes thinking about some of those reasons and what our response, what an antidote to those reasons might be. And the first problem, the first barrier to this is to do with control, because saying your will be done means giving up control over my decisions. We live in a society, don't we, in the UK, in the West, where we are told all the time, you just be whatever you want to be. You just do whatever you want to do. Don't let anybody judge you. Don't let anybody condemn you. Certainly don't let anybody else tell you what to do. You have the absolute right to choose. And anyone who suggests anything different is either outdated or intolerant or somehow denying your basic human rights. You are in control and you get to choose always. So we can find it hard to give control to anyone else over anything, including God, who by definition of who he is has every right to tell us what his will for our lives is. But in an incredible paradox that we have to somehow hold in tension, at the same time the God that we believe in does not force his will on us. It is still possible for us to say, "I don't want to." And that seems crazy when we're talking about Almighty God, but it's true. And I'm sure we've all done it. So how do we get beyond that? How do we get beyond this issue of I just feel so reluctant to open my hands and let someone else have control? I think the antidote to this fear of giving up control is to remember who God is. To remember who it is that we're praying to. As we read in those first few words of that reading from Philippians, Jesus, who was in very nature God, he is God. We're talking about Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. The one who is sovereign. God is sovereign. And he has the absolute right to do whatever he wants to do. But it's important when we're thinking about this issue to remember what kind of sovereign he is, that he's not a dictator kind of sovereign, as that Philippians chapter goes on, who being in very nature God didn't consider that something to be grasped, to be held onto, but he made himself nothing. And he became a servant. For us, for you, for me. This is our God. The sovereign who serves. And so it's okay to say to him, "Your will be done," to give him control. We can trust him with control because he's not controlling. Second reason I think why we find it hard is to do with doubt. There are times when we doubt that God wants the best for us. I've struggled with this a number of times in my life over the years. because of this kind of doubt. I felt God was calling me to change my job. I used to work for the NHS to become a minister in the church, to give up that career and change completely and go back to being a student again. And the kind of things that went through my mind immediately were not, yes, brilliant, God, I'll do that, absolutely. What a fantastic idea. It was much more, do you realize the impact that that's going to have on me and on my family, on my kids, on our finances, on the choices that are going to be available to us? I really don't think that you've got my best interests at heart in saying that. Wrestled with that one for 3 years. You want me to talk to people about Jesus? My neighbors, my family, the people that I meet. I really don't think that's going to be good for me to do that. What's that going to do to our relationship with them? What are they going to think of me? They're going to think of me as some kind of religious nutter, fanatic. I really don't think you've got my best interests at heart, God, telling me to do that. You want me to go to Malden Manor? Where's that? You want me to leave all this? You want me to leave New Malden Baptist Church? I'm sure that's not going to be best for me, for my family, for my kids, for the church, whatever. I want you to love your neighbor like you love yourself. That means everybody. Even the people you really don't like. The people who really wind you up, really annoy you. People you're really fed up with. That's going to be costly. It's going to be hard. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. Can I just ignore them? Can I kind of just treat them neutrally and not do anything bad to them, but, you know, just... I want you to actually love them. You want me to pray for the blokes who stole my son's bike? No. Have you ever wrestled with God like that? God, I can't see how what I think you're calling me to do is going to work out, so I'm going to go my way because I'm pretty confident that actually doing things my way is going to be the best for me. Can we overcome that? What's the antidote to those kinds of thoughts, those kinds of doubts? It's remembering who God is and who it is that we're praying to. In those verses we read from Philippians, it describes him like this: being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Even death on a cross. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves me. Church, God loves you. How does this prayer begin? Our Father in heaven. When Johnny started this series, he was talking about that word, wasn't he? That word means Abba, means Daddy, our loving heavenly Father, the one who absolutely wants the best for you and for me all the time. God is love. Everything that he does comes from love. And if you're not sure whether God loves you, then look at Jesus, read those words from Philippians again. Just meditate on them over the week ahead. Jesus died for you because he loves you, and he doesn't want to hold anything back from you that is going to be the best for you. There's no hidden agendas, there's no ulterior motives, there's no secret vindictiveness. God wants the very best for you, and so it's okay to say, your will be done. He loves you. Third reason I think why we can struggle with saying those four words are to do with pain, because I think we suspect that actually God's will is going to involve pain and suffering sometimes. I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. I want to try and avoid it if I can. I don't enjoy suffering. I want life to be as pretty straightforward and easy as it can be. And I suspect that God's way is not always going to be the easiest way. And it may involve some pain and some suffering and some hard stuff. It did for Jesus, as we've just remembered. It has for many, many people throughout church history, throughout the Bible. When you look at the New Testament church, they were persecuted. They were scattered all over the place. We know that today, September 2018, more people are being persecuted because they follow Jesus than ever before. So we suspect that if we open ourselves up and say, okay, your will be done, then it may mean pain and suffering comes our way. Which makes it really hard to pray, it really does. Jesus himself found it hard to pray. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he went to the cross and he knew what was coming, and he said to God, is there any other way? Can you take this cup away from me? Surely there must be another way that we can save the world. And God said no, and Jesus said, your will be done. He knows what it's like. Those words from Philippians talk about obedience and humbling and going all the way. How could he do that? How can we do that? How can we overcome this fear that it's going to be hard? We can do it by remembering who God is and who it is that we're praying to. Because he's a God who promises to be with us always. And again, the testimony of people who've suffered just because they trust in Jesus is that in the middle of it was so hard, it was so painful, but we knew that God was with us in an amazing way that we've never experienced in any other time. I don't know how many of you have read this book. It's a few years old now. The Heavenly Man by Brother Yun, a Chinese Christian who was persecuted in horrendous ways because he became a Christian in China. And he was beaten and he was tortured and he was imprisoned for a long time. Towards the end of his book, he writes these words: after all these years of valleys and painful trials, Jesus has become an ever-present friend who is with me all the time. When we are in his will, we are in the safest place in the world. After everything he'd been through. The promise of Jesus, we read it for Simon earlier on, is I will be with you. Whatever God's will may include, you will never, ever face it alone. So in the good times as well as the bad times, in the fun times as well as the sad times, in the hard times and the painful times and the joyous times, God himself will be with us and he will see us through. And so even though we suspect it may involve pain, it's okay to say, your will be done. Because of who God is and who we're praying to when we say that. Sorry, I've forgotten to click this. Final reason. And I'm going to go over this quite quickly because it kind of links in with what Roger was talking about last week. I think it's to do with danger. It's a dangerous prayer to pray. Because we know as we look around the world today, you don't have to look very long until you see and you realize that the complete opposite of God's will is being done all over the place, isn't it? And so to join in with him in saying this prayer is to join in the fight against injustice and abuse and greed and hatred and violence and all these things that we see that are going on in the world around us today. This is not a prayer for the faint-hearted. It's a dangerous prayer to pray. And if you join in with feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and setting the oppressed free and seeking to work for justice, if you take your time and count the cost to befriend the lonely and to love your neighbor as yourself, if you choose to stand up and say, I am going to work for what is right and what is just and true and godly, then you're inviting opposition because you're going against the flow to do all that kind of stuff. It's a dangerous prayer to pray. So how can we pray it and really mean it when we know that? I think the antidote to that kind of fear is to remember who God is and to remember who we're praying to. Those verses in Philippians ended like this: therefore, because of everything Jesus had done, God exalted Jesus to the highest place, and he gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Church, the truth is that God wins. And that we are a people who have this sure and certain hope that God wins. We are on the victory side. And so even though it feels like it's going to be a dangerous prayer to pray, it is okay to pray, "Your will be done," because God wins. And we're joining him with that. Our God is a God who is sovereign, but a sovereign who serves. So it's safe to give him control. Our God is a God who loves us, who absolutely wants the best for us all the time. There is no need to doubt him. We can pray, "Your will be done." Our God has promised that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. He will always be with us, whatever his will may involve. And God wins. And he invites us to join the fight for his will to be done in this world. 3 weeks ago on that Monday night, as I lay awake, wrestling with God's will for how I should think about the people who stole the bike, eventually I realised I don't think I'm going to get any sleep unless I do something different. And so I asked God to just help me, to change my heart. And some new thoughts began to come into my head as I did that. I thought, you know what, maybe these guys have trafficked. Maybe they're being forced, they're being sent out every night to do this, to steal stuff, whoever's controlling them. They need to be set free. I thought maybe they live in Malden Manor. Maybe they live in the flats, maybe they're having a really hard time with finances at the moment. Maybe it's his son's birthday, so he needed a new bike for him. Maybe I'll see some other kid riding around your Malden Manor on Freddie's bike, maybe. And I feel I've been called there to tell them about Jesus and show something of his love to them. I'm not really thinking particularly loving thoughts at this moment. I need to change. I thought maybe they're just evil. Maybe this is their chosen way of life. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're just doing it because they want to. Which means they're slaves to that, aren't they? They need Jesus. What an amazing witness it would be if they got saved. And their testimony was, "I used to do this, and that, oh, I've been transformed by the love of Jesus. God did something in me as I tried to do his will in that little thing, in that little moment of time. I don't quite love them yet, but I'm getting closer." Simon started at Spurgeon's College last week. And they teach you lots of stuff at Spurgeon's College, and one of the kind of modules that you do is about practical stuff to being a minister, the practical everyday stuff that you need to know to understand. The very first thing they taught us in that class was the things we needed to know in order to conduct a funeral. And they said, there's a reason why we teach you this stuff first. It's because with all the other kind of landmark services you may have to do of dedications and baptisms and weddings, funerals are the one where you don't get any warning. Something happens and you need to do it there and then. So we need to teach you about it up front, which they did. Do you know that the most frequently requested piece of music to be played at funerals in this country is Frank Sinatra's "I Did It My Way"? Isn't that interesting? "I Did It My Way," and I'm going to go out with that ringing in everybody's ears, "I did it my way." Church, because of who God is, we're a people who are called to fix our eyes on him and to say something different. Not "I did it my way," but actually, "Your will be done. I did it his way." And it's not always easy, but it is always the best because of who he is. Can we just pray for a moment? It was Jesus himself who said, this is how you should pray. Say to God, your will be done. And it's really hard. Sometimes it's harder than others. But it can be really, really hard. Father God, we need your help. Holy Spirit, would you just come and just reveal yourself to us afresh. Remind us of who you are and what you're like. That we can trust you. And that your way is always going to be the best way. Can I ask you to do something brave? If today you want to say that and really mean it, perhaps for the first time, and you know you're going to need help, but you from today you actually, you know what? I need to be able to say this and mean it. Can I just ask you to do something really brave and just stand up? Just to say I'm standing up. So, please join me. Just stand up. I just want to pray for us, me included. Father God, we just pray right now. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you give us the courage of our convictions? Would you give us a heart to do the things that our mouths proclaim when we say, your will be done? So, Holy Spirit, would you help us to put this into action, that your will would be done in my life, in my family, in my finances, in my career, in my children, in my future, in my friendships, in your world. May your will be done. Amen. Amen.